It's good to remember our everyday heroes. Some of them are some of us are personally related to everyday heroes. And most of America doesn't realize what they go through every day and every time they answer a call. So keep them in prayer. They've been under attack. They're a line of authority in the natural, and they are saviors in the natural. Their hearts and their actions demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, that he was willing to give his life to save us. Pastor Toby's coming at this time.
When today is 9/11, as everybody knows, it's been 15 years, and that was one of the reasons for the video. And she asked me to pray or to do something, and I felt like we should stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. So if you'd stand, the flag is back there. And okay. You ready? Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. The other thing I wanted to say is this. The banner over us is love. That's the main banner we have, is the banner of love. But we also have the flag. And everybody knows in this day and age that's been under a lot of attack, and our ways of life have been under attack. And I want to do a short prayer, and then Elder Jim has something to say. And I just want to do a short prayer, simply this, and yet with great meaning, and that is to bless every fireman, to bless every policeman, to bless every serviceman that has served and is serving. We speak the protection of the blood of Jesus over each one. And we thank you for them and for their service and for the way in which they conduct their lives and put their lives on the line. And we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I just wanted to follow up on some of the declarations of Prophetess Vanessa, as well as the videos, that this day when we remember the impact that terrorism had on America, it causes us to remember the heroes as well as our thoughts about terrorism. And we've had a leadership in Washington that has minimize terrorism because statistically it kills fewer Americans than driving accidents. Now, there's several things wrong with that statement and that philosophy. First of all, driving accidents are not like terrorism. It's isolationist. As soon as we believe that it's all about us and it doesn't matter what's going on in the rest of the world, we have a problem. And my parents' generation is remembered as the greatest generation because not because just that they crushed wickedness, but because they first were a righteous and just generation. So I would encourage you to pray for your nation. I believe God has more for us to do as a nation, that God's going to reform America. And it has to start with the heart of Americans, renewing that sense of righteousness and justice.
Thanks. To give a little bit of hope, I just read this morning one of the prophets, and he's confirmed some other prophets, but we're in a seven-year cycle, and that cycle is a cycle of hope and restoration. Now, there will be troubles ahead. It's not that troubles are going to go away. But God is in God's working, God's in the midst, and he's going to restore if we seek him. But Don't lose hope. The worst thing you can do is lose hope. God is a God of hope. And that's why I felt like this morning that I should revisit prayer and praise. I probably won't say anything that you don't already know. And praise God, it's offering time person, James, took part of my message, so I should probably have him come up during that time and give it, but that's fine. But I wanted to give a quick, short testimony. I'm in recovery, but I went to the surgeon a week ago for the last time, and he finally told me the truth. He said, "Your injury was bad, and I never thought you'd get this far. So I'm much further than whatever the surgeon thought I would be." And so that's good news. He told me that I would never be able to bend my knee more than 90 degrees, and I'm at over 110 right now. But I got a prayer request also. He turned around and said, "I'll limp the rest of my life." And I said, I'm going to walk normal again. I'm going to play golf again. I'm going to do all the things that God wants me to do again. And so I'm still in that fight to recover. But I want to just thank God that he's been faithful. And then my wife turned around when I got home and said, "Oh, yeah, the first time we went," he said, "that poor guy, he's in trouble." She didn't tell me that. Of course, I've been in trouble all my life, so what makes a difference? Okay, would you put Luke 19:46 up there, please? Let's start with that. "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Okay, Isaiah 56:7. "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Now, we've heard that many, many times. But I want to repeat it because it's true. And we have to get to that place of understanding what Jesus meant, that his house is a house of prayer. And everybody prays, and everybody has their own way of praying and all that kind of stuff. But we have to do one thing, and that's to pray in faith. And we'll talk a little bit about that. You see, Jesus said, "I only do what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing." Well, what is that? That was prayer and fellowship. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. And too many times, I'll get ahead of myself here, but too many times we go into prayer and we just go, bah, 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 and we don't stop and listen. So it's a one-way street. So I'll talk about that later. But prayer is vital today, in this day and hour. It's always been important, but right now it is very vital. We already know the enemy has increased its attacks. Would you agree with that? And he's been increasing his attacks for a long time. It's been very subtle, but it is getting more bold and bold. Well, the bolder the enemy gets, guess what we should be doing? We should be getting bold right back. Derek Prince once said, "If you bypass prayer, you can have all sorts of plans, systems, and programs. But if you have no prayer behind it, there's no power behind it." So it's not what we set up if we don't go to prayer and allow the Lord to lead us, because that's where the power is. See, prayer and faith is the switch that turns the power on. Where is your power? And that power is in faith. You know, I don't know how you pray. I don't know how often you pray. But when you pray, do you pray in faith, believing? It's one thing to pray. It's another thing in praying in faith, believing. Does God really true? Does God answer prayer? That was mentioned already today. And the prophetic word that came in, one of the prophetic words that came in 2016 was that prayer was to be a priority. Not something, and Pastor Janet sort of alluded to that a little bit ago, it's first on the list. It's not last on the list. It's first on the list. And I don't know about you, but I've been guilty in the past when you run into circumstances and run into problems. The first thing we do is we get the mind going, and then we run over to the neighbor and ask the neighbor instead of going to prayer and asking the Lord, what should we do? Okay. We got to understand that God is for us and not against us. And we have to realize that He has the answers to every situation, good or bad. Every situation. See, if we want to see God's promises come forth and see the enemy defeated, we need to pray in faith, believing and trusting that God knows what He's doing. I've had some people say that I've never seen the prophets in the past like they are today line up with what's going on. And all of them are saying, continue to pray, continue to pray, continue to pray, and calling for greater intercession. Now, CI has been praying 24/7 for what, 2.5 years or almost 3 years? And there are other churches that have been doing the same thing. And that's one of the reasons that the prophet today that I read said, that's one of the reasons God's changing things around. That's the reason that we're going to see the hope. That's the reason we're going to see restoration and that which was taken from you brought back to you because of the prayer and the intercession of the church. So it is happening, but we have to continue to pray at an even greater level. You know, we've said this I don't know how many times, and almost every church I've ever been in over the 50, 60 years. Sunday morning, 100, 200 people. Wednesday night, 10. You know, if we're going to make prayer a priority, then we've got to come together. And corporate prayer, what does He say? Where two or three are gathered, what happens? There I am in the midst. Now, it's important to pray on your own, but it also is very important to pray as a group. And this is off sideline. I taught Bible study at school for about 20 years. And I had junior high kids and high school kids. And I can tell you, and I also taught Sunday school at church back then, the kids would pray more and more openly than the adults. Don't let whatever is holding you back stop you from a relationship with God. Praying is important. And I'll explain what happens when we pray and praise in a minute here. I would like to read something that Apostle Jane put on this week on weapons of warfare. One of them is the weapon of prayer. She said, in World War II, General Patton said this, those who pray do more for this world than those who fight. If the world goes from bad to worse, it's because there are more battles than there are prayers. The most powerful thing a Christian can do is pray in tongues. Prayer gives the capacity to bring radical transformation into a territory and a community. That was General Patton, who was leading one segment of our army. Then she mentions the weapon of praise out of Isaiah 30. Every stroke the Lord lays on them with His punished club will be the music of tambourines and harps as he fights them in battle with the blows of his arm. If you ever felt relief from depression, discouragement, even tiredness, when you got into an atmosphere of praise and worship, that is the weapon of praise in action. It's more than and not just the psychological effect of music. It is a spiritual effect. You see, that's what I felt like we should revisit to really talk about and to understand what's really going on. How many have seen all of your prayers answered? Nobody? How many know that your prayer was answered, but you never really had anybody come back and confirm it, but in here you knew it was confirmed? Okay. I'll give you a true story. You may have heard this true story. It's called 26 Armed Men. Anybody ever heard that one? 26 Armed Men. It's a missionary out of Michigan who went to Africa. And he was back in the jungle, and he had to ride a bicycle for 2 days to go into the main city and pick up money and medical supplies. And on this one trip in, as he got into town, he saw a fight. And so he went over, and he'd already picked up his medical supplies. And the one man was beaten up pretty bad. So he went over and helped him medically and then witnessed to him. And then he left. 2 weeks later, he comes back and he runs into that same man. And that man said, "I want you to know that I took my buddies and followed you into the jungle, and we were going to rob you and kill you. But," he said, "we didn't, because you had 26 armed men around your camp." He said, "What are you talking about? I didn't have 20. He said, "Yes, you did. You had 26 armed men around your camp, and there was no way we were going to attack you." And so he comes back on furlough to his main church, and he begins to tell the story. And a man jumps up and said, "When did this happen?" And he told him, and he said, "Well, all the men that were praying that day for you, stand up." Guess what? 26 men had been praying. That's a true story. You see, your prayers are answered, and sometimes you don't know it. And you don't know how powerful it can be, but that missionary was protected because somebody prayed. You know, we've heard for years that grandmother that's prayed for somebody for 25 years until they come to salvation. Don't give up. Don't quit. Whatever your situation is, don't quit. What I'm trying to give to you today is simply, it is important, and their hope is in God. That's where it's at. You see, God has given us a powerful gift. When He created you, He put within you the desire to worship someone greater than you. And in doing that, part of it is praying. Part of that is coming to your Creator and acknowledging Him as the Creator, acknowledging Him as Lord. So there's nothing shameful about prayer. There should be no embarrassment about prayer. It's God who's created you. It's God who's made you. It's God who desires you. It's God who loves you. And it's God who wants the best for you. So why not pray? Did you ever run in? Oh, I already said this. So, but did you ever run into somebody you can't get a word in edgewise? I won't tell you how many people I've run. Well, that's what I alluded to earlier, that we do with God sometimes. He can't get a word in edgewise. "Oh, God, I got this problem." Anybody ever done anything like that? You wouldn't admit it, right? I always, as I said, prayer is a two-way street, and I used to use this terminology. This is my own definition. of communication. It's an exchange of ideas with understanding. If we don't have an exchange, then where have we got? It's only our ideas. But there must be an exchange. And God doesn't stand there and talk to you for 40 hours. Anytime I've heard God, it's been one word, five words, that's it. But boy, I'm telling you, those two, three, four, five words give you a lot of information. I guess it would be nice if we learned how to talk like that. And over this last, actually 8 months, Psalm 46:10. Anybody know what Psalm 46:10? I didn't put it on the thing. It says, "Stand still and know that I am God. Stand still and know that I am God." You know, there's a lot involved in that. So, anyhow. The next thing about praying is praying for leadership. I won't take much time on the background, but since the 1990s, I'll just go back to the 1990s, for if any of you are old enough to remember that, how many pastors have fell in the 1990s? They fell into sin. They fell into problems. And the statistics are that at least 2,000 to 3,000 churches close their door every year. And pastors are leaving the ministry. Why is that? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons. But one of the main reasons is they need the support of the congregation to pray for them. Jesus is the head of the church, but as the leaders of the church, that's where the enemy goes after. If you can get the leadership off base, you got the whole church. So it's very vital to pray for leadership. And pray your blessing upon them. Not, "Oh, I wish they'd do this differently." You know. Because when you pray and you don't pray the blessing of the Lord upon someone, you're actually cursing them. And you don't want to do that. And when I think of leadership, I don't just think of the church. I think of homes. The head of the home. Whoever is the head of your home, is the other people praying for them? Is the head of the home praying for their family? And the hardest one for me lately has been the government. I'll be honest, it's been hard for me. I pray for their salvation. But other than that, I have a hard time. That's just honest. But we need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray that God will intervene and bring forth those things that He would like to see done. That His kingdom come and His will be done in this earth. God has so blessed this nation. And one of the main reasons is because we've turned to Him. And that was read earlier today. If we will pray, repent, and turn back, God will heal our land. We're in a state where we need to do that at a higher level. At a higher level. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. James, you want to read that? "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Amen. Hebrews 13:15. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess His name." Notice those words, continually. basically always. And as James referred to it, an attitude of gratitude. The Word of God says that complaining is a sin. That put an ouch. Complaining is sin. It's what it is. We've got to turn our whole mindset around. And the way we do that is understand the greatness of our God and begin to bless Him and to praise Him, to worship Him, to honor Him. And that will begin to change your countenance and even your character. It will. When you are thankful, no matter what, not thankful when something, you know, comes to your door and says, well, I felt like the Lord ought to give you $1,000. Thank you. But if somebody comes up to your door and says something nasty, you're not too thankful. The hardest thing to do is to praise God in the midst of your pain. That is the hardest thing to do, is when you're struggling with something, when you're in a lot of pain. But you know, that's the greatest form of worship. I think the greatest form of worship is praising God in the midst of your pain. Because you know why? Because it says, I trust God. That's what it does. It says, I trust God. It doesn't matter the circumstance. See, we tend to look at circumstance. Anybody agree with me? We tend to look at circumstance and then we determine whether we should pray to God or not. Rather than circumstance should have nothing to do with our honoring and praising the Lord. Well, if things were just a little better, well, guess what? Adam and Eve had a perfect scenario. And they fell into struggles. You see, don't wait on the perfect circumstance. I don't know why this came to me. I've heard many couples said, well, we want to get married, but we got to wait until the circumstances are better. Wait till we get more money, or wait till we do this, or wait till we do that. And we do that with so many things in life. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. See, there's all kinds of verses that says, look to me. Look up. Where does your help come from? It comes from the Lord. See, there's all kinds of things that say, that lead us and direct us and tell us, here's the direction we need to go. 2 Chronicles 20. I think this is the first time I've got this far and we didn't jump over 9 different things. Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and he will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. They went into battle praising. Praising is a form of worship and warfare. And we're all guilty of this, and I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying we need to change. When we're praising and worshiping up here, where's the excitement? Where's the joy? I'm not saying we don't have any. But what I'm saying is we need to get to a greater level. You know, we have to let go. I've heard terms like let your hair down, you know, those kind of things over the years. That's what we have to do. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, well, go look at a football game and you see everybody. They go, they're stupid. I mean, they dress up with the weirdest costumes, and these guys, big guys, dress up with a hog nose on them, and, you know, and they're going crazy about a football game. But if somebody get up here and really praise, we kind of look at them, are they okay? The key is not so much physical as it is in your heart and spirit. But when it's in your heart and spirit, guess what the physical do? It will follow. See, we're worshiping the Creator. We're worshiping God. God is invisible, but yet He's here. He's real, more real than the physical. And we have to grab hold of the awesomeness of the holy God that we serve. And so all I'm saying is we just need to look at it and look at ourselves and say, where do we need to increase? What do I need to do to get that real thanksgiving and that heart of attitude to gratitude? God's given you life, a precious, precious thing. And He's given us opportunity. It's just, I don't know how to express it. I didn't put this all in the thing, so I want to go to Psalm 100. I only had them put down some. You can go ahead and put Psalm 100. I didn't get one. But I want to go through Psalm 100 and show you there's no negativity. There's no ugh to it. Listen to this. The first thing it says is, make a joyful noise. In fact, Bishop Hammond has been going around the last, 2 years or 3 years. And every time he goes somewhere, they shout for a half hour.
Been
that 5 years? I know I've been in a couple times over the last couple years, but I mean, he just said, all right, we're going to shout, nothing else. And he said, that breaks open the heavens. Okay, what did Psalm 100 say? Shout joyfully. Oh, I got to shout. Okay. Second thing says, serve Him with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. He who has made you, that's what He says. He who has made you, and we are His, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 23 says what? He is our shepherd. Now, I won't take the time. I got there's a whole list of things on Psalm 23. Of all the things that He does for us, look up Psalm 23 sometime and see if you can see all the different aspects that God provides, protects, and all this other stuff from Psalm 23. Because we're the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He's protecting us. He's watching over us. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. That's more in Psalm 100. Into His courts with praise. Give thanks and bless His name. The Lord is good. And I keep hearing, well, the Lord is good all the time. It's more than that. That's His nature. He can't do anything but be good. Matthew says, and we have a verse up there that we'd put up that says, Matthew says, only God is good. And that's his very nature. That's why he's good all the time, because that's his nature. And I think I've said this before. When I was younger, I always thought that if I did something wrong, I was going to feel this hammer come right down on the top of my head. Anybody ever feel like that when you did something out of God? And, ouch, you know? That's not God. But that was the way I looked at God, because I looked at my earthly father and then looked at my heavenly father the same way. But that's not who he is. And the last one is loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 136, the whole chapter, this makes a statement, and then it says his loving kindness is everlasting. Think about that. You ever looked at everlasting? See, in everlasting is everything. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Now, here's what happens when you start praising and worshiping God with your heart. You get rid of two slaves. When you begin to praise and worship God, you get rid of two slaves. The first slave you get rid of is pleasing yourself. That's what you do. You remove the pleasing of self. And the second thing you do is get rid of the pleasure of this world. Because you can't tell me that at some time or other when you're standing here in worship and praise, that in the mind comes, oh, I got to do this afternoon. I wonder if the meat's going to get done. I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to pay that bill tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? See, self enters back into the picture. But when we're truly praising and worshiping, we're moving that out of the way. And we're not looking at ourself, but we're looking to the Creator. Let's go to Psalm 103:17. Just to point out again, God says, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who what? Fear Him. That adore Him, that worship Him, that praise Him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. I have a hard time with this one. Anybody have a hard time with this one? Rejoice in the Lord always. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've always done that. And then he says, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Uh-oh. Do not be anxious about... Uh-oh. See, the Lord's telling us that if we really trust Him, we can do that. See, I think sometimes we think, oh, that, yeah, that's good, but I don't think I can do that. Yes, you can. It's called trust. Okay, I'm going to skip the other verses and go on down. I'm not sure where I got this, but I'm going to... The hammer of praise and worship will break the chains that have you bound. The hammer of praise and worship will break the chains that have you bound. You want to be free from something? Focus on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Honor the Lord. Worship the Lord. That's probably the best method of deliverance you can have. People can pray for you. People can come against that demon or whatever. But the best thing is, if you will truly praise and worship and trust the Lord, He'll set you free. Giving glory to Him. Learning to be humble. go after God with abandonment. Now I want to take a little bit of time with this one. Romans chapter 1. How much time I got? I can't even see the clock.
It's noon.
It's noon. Okay. Well, I'm half done. Well, be thankful. I had 13 and a half pages 2 days ago, and I cut it to 5. That's what happens when I sit home. Okay. Now, this is what came. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen. In other words, there's no excuse. Okay? For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And when I read that, what I read was, and looked in the commentary, in ancient world, sexual depravity became major. And if we go on down through those verses, it simply says, because they did not give thanks to God. And then you translate the Old Testament to today, and what do you have? The same thing. People are dismissing God. It's all about me. And when I saw that, I thought, wow. It's right there in the scripture. When you are not thankful, you're on a slide to destruction. That's scary. Because there's so many people that they'll do everything possible except give God the glory. And if you go on down in those verses, it talks about homosexuality and all that kind of stuff. And how in the world these people today can say that it's okay. It's beyond my thinking. So I guess what I'm simply saying to this is it is so important to give thanks to your Creator. It's so important to give thanks for the Redeemer, that He's redeemed you from the darkness. Okay, let's see, so I can finish up here. Oh, I'd love to do that, but... All right, let me just do this. Ephesians 1, 18, 19, we don't have that on the board. But it says to enlighten your eyes. Okay? God will enlighten the eyes of your heart when you turn to Him and begin to thank Him and to praise Him. And when He enlightens the eyes of your heart, you'll be able to see more clearly. God wants us to see clearly. Okay? I'm just going to make a few statements here and then I'll be quiet. I don't know about you, but I see giants in the land. But don't see yourself as a grasshopper. There are giants in the land, but don't see yourself as a grasshopper. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You're not an accident waiting for something to happen. I've been basically sitting for about 5-6 months. And let me tell you this, it's easy to stay where you're at. It was easy for me to get up in the morning and have help to get in a chair and sit there all day. That's all I could do. But now that I'm getting better and I go sit in the chair, the first thought comes, oh, well, I can just sit back. No, you can't stay in that comfort zone. You gotta move on. Here's two things. The enemy will try to keep you from climbing up the mountain. Begin to praise and worship. You want to move up the mountain of God? Praise and worship. And stop allowing a season in your life to define your whole life. I need to repeat that. Stop allowing a season in your life to define your whole life. We base too much on some rotten season to define our whole life. The last thing is, you are God's prized possession.